When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." I want to focus tonight on the faith of those converted Roman soldiers who participated in the crucifixion of Jesus. The faith of the converted Roman soldiers. First, who were these Roman soldiers? Well, from the text, we know one thing. They were led by a centurion. And a centurion usually implies 100 people underneath his command. So some might speculate that there were 100 soldiers crucifying Jesus. But other scholars say, well, probably not. You wouldn't need 100. They probably would have delegated maybe 12. Kind of ironic because Jesus had 12 disciples who were not with him at this moment. And instead we have 12 pagans, unbelievers, crucifying the Lord Jesus. They were pagan. They were callous. They were unconcerned about things. They probably lost all sense of humanity after doing two or three crucifixions in the past. They were hardened men. They did what they did well, and that is to crucify people. They probably first met Jesus before Pilate, and they probably were aware of the politics that were at play. You had the Jews and their chief people, the Sanhedrin. You had the people who wanted something else. You also had Pilate and his reigning authority. So they could see all the dynamics taking place. And they had heard the claim. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Soon these soldiers were mocking Jesus, having given instruction to them to crucify him. They started mocking him. They put a purple robe on him. They put together a crown of thorns, put it on his head not to glorify him, but to make him suffer even more, to feel the pain. And they even yelled out, "Hail, King of the Jews," in total unbelief. Some of the soldiers were instructed to whip Jesus. They divided his clothes. All probably heard clearly the last seven words of Jesus from the cross, including those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What else did they witness? A darkness over the face of the land, that miracle from 12 till 3 where it was dark. Jesus hung on the cross from 9 until 3, 6 hours. But from the last 3 hours, darkness. They were probably not aware that the temple curtain tore in two from top to bottom in Jerusalem. They weren't near the temple. They were outside of the temple where the crucifixion took place, near Golgotha. But very aware of one thing that the text even makes us aware of. It says, they were aware of the earthquake and the splitting of the rocks and the opening of the graves. About these things, it says in the text, they were filled with awe, and they concluded, surely this was the Son of God. There was likely some fear when they made that conclusion. What did we just do? We participated in the flogging, the mocking, the crucifixion, the killing of this man who is the Son of God? Maybe they thought we were on the wrong side all along. We should have prevented his death, but it was well too late for that. Now let's look at their miraculous faith. Romans 10:10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did these soldiers confess Jesus with their mouth? Yeah, it says they all said, surely this was the Son of God. That's a confession of the mouth, if I've ever heard one. Did they believe that God raised him from the dead? Well, believing that he is the Son of God, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility, would it? And what happened to Jesus on the third day, his resurrection from the dead, was not done in a vacuum. The word got out. You might recall also in the Gospels that Pilate put centurion men, put some Roman soldiers near the tomb to make sure that nobody played any funny business and tried to steal the body. They would have been one of the first witnesses that things miraculous were taking place when the two men came down and opened the tomb and the great thunder that took place. Earthquake once again. Megalos earthquake. So these soldiers were in the realm of seeing and hearing about Jesus risen from the dead. Surely they had heard about the resurrection from someone because that word went out. The soldiers were told the guard and they were around and they were still in Jerusalem. They would have heard about the resurrection of Jesus, which has now gone almost to the very ends of the earth. What do we make of this? I think we should marvel how it pleases God to convert enemies of the gospel to be believers in the Son of God. These are the ones responsible for executing Jesus, and they become believers. This is the starkest example of what Scripture describes as this. We all were once enemies of God, all of us. Certainly we know that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But really, Scripture goes further than that. It says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. It says you were once dead. It says you were enemies. And while you were still enemies, Christ died for you. My sins, your sins, the Roman soldiers' sins, the whole world's sins. Yet the Son of God came to save sinners, of which I am chief, according to a man named Paul, who was half Jew, half Roman citizen. Isaiah 53, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What we see in the Passion is the Holy Spirit working faith by the words and works of Jesus Christ crucified, and soon, Jesus Christ risen. The Holy Spirit worked upon these Roman soldiers to bring them and bestow on them the gift of faith, the belief that others couldn't even believe, that this truly was the Son of God. The same Spirit works on us through the word of the cross here on Good Friday, Jesus Christ crucified, and soon on Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. In Ephesians 2, we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, insert Roman soldiers. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even while yet we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Grace saved the Roman soldiers on Good Friday, those who crucified Jesus. Grace saves us. For our sins also crucified Jesus. And yet we, like those Roman soldiers, have come to believe in Jesus' atonement as the Son of God. And yes, even his resurrection of the dead, the first fruits of those who fall asleep. An atonement and a resurrection that brings all who believe into eternal life. Today, soon, as you hear the sound of the splitting of the rocks, the thunder, the earthquake, those things that even the Roman soldiers heard that day, and the closing of the tomb, don't just think, how awful. How terrible humanity is to put someone to death like this. Surely we could say that about these Roman soldiers, these pagans. Oh, how awful they were, terrible. These pagans, these bloodthirsty men. Just don't forget you might meet some of these Roman soldiers in heaven one day. And when a plane passes by here in Maryville, you know, from the military base nearby, what do people often say? You know, the kind of big military plane which stops all human activity here below because we can't do anything but look up and go, is it going to fall on me right now? So loud, so disturbing. And what do the brave military people often say? I've heard Chuck say it. That's the sound of freedom, baby. So also, when you hear the splitting of the rocks, the earthquake, the thunder, the closing of the tomb, may you also say, on Good Friday, that's the sound of our freedom, baby. The sound that Jesus has all the judgment of God, all the wrath being poured out on him, so that you can be free. That's the gift of Good Friday. And a blessed Good Friday to you, my friends. In Jesus' name.